This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Hunger is a growing issue across the country and is prevalent in the Coulee region. Thousands of people in our community don't get enough to eat on a daily basis, including children who go to bed hungry. Today, we're talking about hunger in the La Crosse area, and we'll hear from organizations that are working to feed those in need. My guests today are Erin Waldhart. She's the executive director of Wafer, a food pantry serving La Crosse and Houston counties, and Jennifer Woodford. She's executive director of Channel One Regional Food Bank based in Rochester. Thank you two so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to first just talk about hunger in general. What exactly is it that we're seeing and hearing from people who are hungry in southwest Wisconsin, southeast Minnesota? Erin?
Well, the need is still as prevalent today as it has been for the last several years. I think the thing that's changed recently is the fact that the food stamp cuts that were effective November 1st are really really hurting the families that are struggling to put food on the table.
And is it the same situation in Minnesota as well, Jennifer?
It is. And actually, we were chatting just before I came on air. Erin said the same thing, that we're seeing a lot of people going back to food shelves and food pantries that they haven't been visiting for the last several years. For one reason or another, whether it's the food stamp cuts that we've seen across the board with SNAP reductions, whether it's an expiration of unemployment benefits, lots of different factors are bringing people back and seeking help for the first time in many years.
And we've all been hungry, you know, maybe lunch had to be pushed off an hour or so. But for someone who is experiencing extreme hunger, can you maybe explain what exactly that is doing to them? What sort of physical and mental toll that is taking on the adult or the child? Erin?
Well, for children, nutrition is especially important so that they have a good learning environment and have every opportunity to learn and grow at school. So when there isn't enough food to eat at home and their only meals are at school, they're not necessarily coming to school prepared to learn. And for poverty, it's cyclical. The only way to get out of that is through good education and hard work. And those aren't the only factors, of course. But, you know, I think especially for children, they need every opportunity that they can to make it. And food is essential.
And for adults, too.
Absolutely. And so for the parents of those kids that Erin are talking about, they are pretty much obsessed with food. And not in the way you might think, like, oh, what I'm going to eat for dinner, or can I go to this restaurant, but where the next meal is going to come from and where they're going to be able to secure those meals that they know are so vital for their families, for their children. So it becomes this all-encompassing, okay, we've made it through one meal, now where does the next meal's food come from? And it's really going, in most cases, from meal to meal. You're not going to the grocery store and planning out a whole week's worth of meal and having the luxury of being able to buy everything you need in one sitting, but okay, now I have this money and I can buy for the next meal. And then when they come into the next, okay, I can go to the next meal. I'm going, you know, to 10 different shops, 10 different stores to try to get the best price on every item.
So it's something that can totally consume someone's life.
Absolutely.
And we hear a lot about food insecurity, and there are all sorts of numbers that we'll dive into it in a minute when it comes to food insecurity. But what exactly is that? Jennifer?
Well, I think that the most common definition of food insecurity is, or also being known, you know, being hungry or at risk of hunger, is just not always knowing where your next meal is going to come from. So it's not a chronic hunger where you don't ever have any food to eat, but it's the chronic worry and the chronic planning of where the next meal will come from. And, you know, it comes and goes for families many times, depending on the time of year, what expenses are happening. If it's back to school time and there's greater expenses, food insecurity tends to be higher because your disposable income has to go somewhere else. But it's just that constant planning of where the next meal will come from, and most importantly, where the income will come to cover that next meal.
So in Wisconsin, the latest figures that I could find, at least, came from the group Feeding America, and the numbers are from 2011. And they found that the food insecurity rate for Wisconsin is 13%. And at least in our corner of the state, it ranges anywhere from 12.5% in Jackson County to 10% in Trempealeau County. Food insecurity rates about 11% in La Crosse, Vernon, and Crawford counties. So, Erin, does that mean that about 11% of the people in La Crosse County are food insecure?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what that means.
And are these numbers, are these reflected in what you see at Wafer and what you're hearing from people at Wafer?
Yes. I think the one thing that's interesting to me is when we take a look at our entire demographics of the population that we serve, we can break it down into age groups. And while the food insecurity rate might be 1 in 6 or 1 in 5, what we see is 1 in 3 of the people that we serve are under the age of 18. And I think that's a significant number in terms of who we are serving and what the needs might be.
And Jennifer, at least in Minnesota, in the southeast corner, for the state overall, the food insecurity rate's about 11.4%. So it's lower than Wisconsin, about 11% in Winona County. But it's much lower in Houston, Fillmore, and Olmsted counties, at about 9%. Do you have any idea why there is that percentage difference maybe in Minnesota versus Wisconsin?
I don't, but because 2% sounds like a lot, but when we look at, you know, the area that Channel One Regional Food Bank serves, we help feed about 100,000 people throughout southeast Minnesota and La Crosse County, Wisconsin, with, of course, in partnership with our agencies like Wafer here in La Crosse. And so 2% sounds like a big difference, but it's still a gigantic number when you look at 100,000 people. I think in some cases the difference might be, you know, we have a bigger, more urban area in actually Rochester itself, which is why Olmsted County might be a little bit lower. In some cases, those lower numbers in counties might be because of the great work that agencies are doing with hunger relief. So I think there's a couple different factors, but I definitely agree with Aaron that there are significant age groups where we see higher percentages of food insecurity. Certainly children are among them, and actually seniors are really a group that is growing fast throughout our service area.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. Today, we're talking about hunger in the Cooley region. My guests are Jennifer Woodford, she's Executive Director of Channel One Regional Food Bank based in Rochester, and Erin Waldhart, she's Executive Director of Wafer, a food pantry serving La Crosse and Houston counties. I'm wondering if now we should maybe dive into what exactly your organizations are. Erin, do you want to talk about Wafer, the food pantry here in La Crosse?
Sure. On average, Wafer serves about 1,600 families every month, though recently we've gone over 1,700, especially with the food stamp cuts. We offer monthly food packages to families in La Crosse and Houston counties, and those food packages contain a variety of canned goods. We have a lot of fresh produce, baked items, meat, just a lot of stuff that we recover locally to round out the food package.
So people, families can come to Wafer once a month and you'll have this package prepared for them?
Yeah. They actually get to choose the items that they would like. It's not prepackaged or anything. They see the items, they can choose them for themselves. It helps them gives them a little bit of control over the things that they eat or any dietary restrictions they might have. But in addition to the food packages that we offer, we also offer a lot of different programs throughout the county as well, such as a delivery program for seniors, a collaboration with the Boys and Girls Club and the Bangor School District to help provide meals for kids. We have some mobile drop programs in the more rural areas of the county. And we're just looking to address the needs as they arise.
And over the years, Wafer's really expanded.
Absolutely. Yeah, just this year we added probably 3 more programs or 3 additional sites for the programs that we have.
Wow. And in Rochester, Jennifer, can you talk about how Channel One Regional Food Bank works?
Sure. So we are the Feeding America Food Bank for all of southeast Minnesota and then La Crosse County, Wisconsin as well. And our job as a food bank is to get food out to our partner agencies. The Wafer here in La Crosse, Salvation Army in La Crosse, all sorts of agencies all throughout southeast Minnesota and La Crosse. We distributed about 9 million pounds of food last year throughout our service area. And really, our job is to get the food to other agencies, and then it's the hard work of Wafer and other agencies to get the food to individuals who need it. So it's a partnership where when we talk about being a bank, that's what we are. The food comes in, and then the food goes right back out. We don't hold on to it. It's just our job to keep it, and then as efficiently as possible, distribute it to our partner agencies.
So it's not one of those, or can people in Rochester come to your offices and also get food, or you're giving it out to the different organizations?
We are both. Okay. So we are a food bank, so we give food to other hunger relief agencies and also actually to on-site programs who take our food and cook meals with it. So we do that as well. But then in Olmsted County, we are the primary food shelf, just like Wafer is a food shelf here on La Crosse. We're the primary food shelf that serves Olmsted County in Rochester. So we distributed about just over 3 million pounds of food. We have had about 3,500 visits per month from Olmsted County families over the last couple of years. So as Erin mentioned, the numbers do unfortunately continue to grow everywhere. We kind of thought, well, maybe, you know, when, I hate even to say the word recession, but when the recession was technically over, that, you know, maybe that would, you know, start to ease, and it hasn't. There are still families coming to us who haven't been, you know, seeing in our food shelf for a while or with our member agencies for a while, who still need help. Seniors, I mentioned before, you know, when the recession hit, they went through their 401ks, they went through all their savings. Now they're relying on Social Security, which isn't enough to get you through every single month. So a lot of new faces, unfortunately, still coming into the emergency food system, the emergency food network, in need of hunger relief.
And I've heard people from other organizations talk about, when you hear about the economic recovery, it does. It mostly refers to people maybe in the upper class or middle class. But there's still people who are economically insecure that are having the toughest time with the recovery.
Well, and the studies will show that specifically for people who are on the lowest rung, people who are in poverty, that the recovery, there's about a two-year lag. You know, you mentioned that the middle class or the upper class are starting to come out of it. But studies will show that there is about a two-year lag for people who are on that bottom rung or who are in poverty. It takes them on average 2 years longer to get back to the point that they were than those who were the middle or the upper class.
So things this year are not necessarily better, however you want to define better, than maybe last year?
I think we're still seeing new families that are struggling to make it. Of course, we're always going to see new families, the rough patches that they go through or some hard times financially. But Jennifer is right. You know, I expected, you know, working in this field for 6, 7, 8 years, that by now we would have seen an improvement, and we haven't. And it's shocking, really, that we're still where we were 5 years ago.
So when someone comes and they show up to Wafer and, you know, they come and get their food package, what are you hearing from them? What do they say to you about their own individual situation?
Well, recently we've had an increase in the number of people who are on the food share program who've had cuts. Recently, we had a mother, single mother of four, come in, and she used to receive somewhere around $200 a month for food stamps. Over the last year, it was cut to the point where it was $10 a month, and now it's nothing. She's working a job, trying to support her kids, but they don't have enough money, and so they turn to us.
And I'm sure similar stories that you hear in Rochester too, Jennifer.
Absolutely. And there's such a great uncertainty right now, specifically around SNAP or food support. And it's called different things in, you know, different places. I hate to say food stamps because it's not what we call it anymore. We're trying to get away from that. But people understand when you say food stamps. And there is so much uncertainty. You know, this was the first time in the history of the program that there was an across-the-board cut to all benefits, and that went into effect on November 1st for all people who receive SNAP benefits. And so there's an immediate loss every single month of, on average, you know, anywhere from $11 to $39, depending on your benefit amount. And those are immediate, and they're right there, and you see it every single month. And so as an individual who might depend on SNAP benefits to help feed your family, that's cause of anxiety because now I don't know. Now I'm trying to figure out where I'm going to make that up. And in addition to that, there's a lot of talk all across the media, as there should be, about the future of the SNAP program. And that's being negotiated through the Farm Bill right now. And as that continues to be talked about, which I agree it should be, it just heightens the anxiety for people who receive SNAP benefits because, you know, we're talking about between $4 and $40 billion in cuts that are proposed to the program. And when you talk about what that means and what that might mean to my benefits, that's a startling number. And again, it just kind of feeds into that anxiety, I think, that people are feeling.
So when with all this uncertainty with the future of the SNAP program, how do you all prepare for potential cuts, major cuts, and possibly an increase in the number of people who come to the different food pantries?
I think for us, it's just continually reminding people that we are here. You know, we're here. If you came already this month and you have nothing to put on your table, come back. You know, right now we're sitting okay. We can take care of you. If we get to the point where we're inundated with people, then we go to plan B. And I don't really know what that is, other than it's going to take many organizations and the community standing behind us to make that happen. And, you know, in my opinion, we live in a country that food is plentiful and a lot goes to waste, and it shouldn't. And there are people who are hungry and homeless and they don't have anything to eat. And we shouldn't have a system that allows people to fall through the cracks like that.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about hunger in the Coulee region. My guests are Erin Waldhart. She's executive director of Wafer, a food pantry serving La Crosse and Houston counties, and Jennifer Woodford. She's executive director of Channel One Regional Food Bank based in Rochester. Let's go back to some of the logistics about how each of your food banks, food pantries work. With Wafer, Erin, how exactly, where is all that food coming from? Because I know it's broken down and there's a nice little pie chart on your website. But
yeah, we have a lot of different sources for the food that's given out to our clients. We are a participant in the TFAP program, which is the Emergency Food Assistance Program. We receive about 8% of our food package foods from that program. Then we receive about 33% of donated product from the community. So that would be the canned goods for the food package again. Another 33% we recover from local retailers. So that would be the fresh product, Walmart, Sam's, Target, a bunch of different bakeries. And then we purchase between 20 and 25% of all the food that's given out in the food package.
And does that come from monetary donations, grants?
Yes, both. Okay. We write grants for specific programs to cover that food. We also just write for general food purchases and then community and individual organizational donations.
And then are there qualifications that people have to make when it comes to coming and receiving food from Wafer?
Yes, because we're the participant in the TFAP program, we have to follow the rules that's set up by that program. So there are financial limitations for the program, which are determined by the government.
What are those? Maybe for, I don't know how you want to break it down, either a single person, family of three or four?
Oh, boy, well, I don't have those numbers.
In general, the guidelines are up to 200% of the federal poverty guidelines. Okay. And for a family of four, the poverty rate is and I don't have the exact number, but it's about $22,800 for a family of four. And we can, to be in accordance with TFAP guidelines, we could serve up to 200% of that, so double that, okay, essentially. And when you think about a family of four,
making $22,000.
Yeah, yeah. You know, or even up to $40,000 a year or $44,000 a year. That goes pretty quickly.
And in Rochester, how exactly does Wafer, where do all your donations come from?
Sure. So as a food bank, we have we get donations from a lot of different sources, just as Erin does. We have a pie chart that looks a little bit different, but it still comes from different places. We also distribute TFAP, the Emergency Food Assistance Program, and that's done on a state-by-state basis. So we distribute TFAP product to our Hunger Relief partners, our food shelves in Minnesota. We don't distribute it to Wafer only because we're limited state by state. We have some other commodity government food that we distribute through the Commodity Supplemental Food Program. The majority, though, of the food that we distribute, either, again, sometimes we do purchase or it's donated to us. And as a food bank, we have access through Feeding America to national donations. So we might have, you know, a truckload of fruit or a truckload of vegetables that would come in. We've been doing more and more as much as we can with fresh produce. Aaron talked about earlier about the food that goes to waste in our country every year. And we, as a network of food banks, have really done a good job of working with retailers and manufacturers, connecting organizations like Wafer to places, Target and Walmart, and, you know, doing the retail pickups. We've kind of squeezed all we can, I think, out of that orange and got every little last drop of juice out of there. But one of the areas where we still have room for growth is in fresh items, fresh produce, fruits and vegetables. And so we've been working hard as a network, as a food bank, to capture as much of that as we can so that we can then distribute it back out to our hunger relief partners. So hopefully that's an area where we can still continue to grow.
I would imagine logistically handling fresh produce is a little more difficult than, say, if you got donations of noodles or, you know, food that can last on the shelves for a while. So does that present other challenges for you all?
The window closes much faster yeah. on the fresh produce because in general, and I think I can speak for Aaron as well, the produce that comes to either, you know, our food pantry, our food shelf, or even the food bank is not brand new, fresh, you know, right off the vine items. These are items that have either been with the retailer for a while or have sat with the farmer for a while or, you know, whatever the case may be. So it is a challenge, you know, sometimes logistically to bring the items in and turn them around as quickly as we can and get them out so that they can be distributed to individuals who are struggling with hunger.
And what about the produce situation for Wafer?
It's exactly the same. Yeah. We did have some farmers, though, that contacted us to bring us. One had an overabundance of rutabagas, so we got about 4,000 pounds of rutabagas right from the field. You know, that's great. We can store those in cold storage for quite a while. But Jennifer's right. We need to bring it in and turn it around to families as quick as possible.
And what about your needs right now? You know, at this point in time, what is it that's needed at Wafer, Aaron?
We can always use canned goods. Always. The clients really enjoy the variety that food collections provide. When we purchase, it's all the same thing. So we'll purchase 3 pallets of green beans or a pallet of the tomato soup, you know, so it's all the same. But when people have food drives, it provides a really nice variety. And the clients get really excited about it. Oh, you have whatever today. That's my favorite, you know, so it gives them just a little boost, I think, that they need when they come into our place.
Canned goods the same for Channel 1?
Yeah, protein items are always things that we're looking for, either canned tuna or chicken or soups or stews, you know, things that have meat in them. Peanut butter is something we're looking, you know, to have donated. The price of peanut butter has increased significantly over the last couple of years, so it's not something that we always have available in our inventory, either for our agencies to order or for our own food shelf to give to our clients. So really usually looking for protein items. But I agree, it's the variety that we get from food drive food that, you know, people get excited about. And we'll tell clients, they'll call and say, well, what's in the food shelf today? Well, first of all, it changes hour by hour. You know, it's never the same. It's never the same twice. But come and shop at the food shelf first. You know, there's no cost for that. See what we have so that you might find, you know, 3 ingredients of your favorite recipe and only need to buy the 4th when you go to the grocery store. So, again, it comes back to that planning. Because it's a process for our families that use the food shelf. But again, if you have the time to do that and you can use the food shelf as a resource, then it does make it easier.
So as people are planning to donate in the different food drives going on right now, because we all know during the holiday season, it seems like the food drives are really amped up a bunch. How exactly, when you look at food drives with even the Hunger Task Force of La Crosse, who isn't here today, different food drives at churches and schools, Aaron, in La Crosse, how does all of that get worked out? Is it the different groups? Are, you know, churches going to different groups and just handing them food? Or are they working with you? Or are they working with Hunger Task Force?
I think generally how it works is people have a food drive and then they call me and say, hey, we had a food drive. Usually I don't know about it beforehand. I would say probably less than 10% of the time I know of events that are going on or food collections specifically for us.
And at least in Rochester, Jennifer, it sounds like Channel 1 really is this overarching organization that really incorporates all the different groups. Do the food drives work a little differently maybe in Southeast Minnesota?
And I think that, you know, in Olmsted County, we do have a lot of people who call and say, just like Aaron said, oh, we did this for you. We say, thank you. And then, you know, we either see if they can drive, you know, deliver the food or if we need to go pick it up. And that happens for agencies all throughout Southeast Minnesota, where they have churches, service clubs, schools. As you mentioned, this is the time when people are really thinking about giving back. And so, and understanding hunger and that, you know, food is a basic need. It's not an option. So, you know, we're very blessed that there are people who think about, you know, their local hunger relief agency and how they can help contribute and make it a little bit easier during the holidays.
During the holidays, since giving is on the forefront of people's minds and they are having more food drives, is there more of a need for food in the winter season, or is it just amplified because we're in the holiday season?
I think that the need is consistent all year round. There is a slight increase during the winter months because now people have to choose between heat and food, especially where we live. But, you know, I think the thing that comes to mind is my board president so eloquently said, mealtime is about getting together with your family and sharing about what happened today. When there isn't enough food for everybody or any food at all, mealtime becomes something other than a joyful occasion. So when you're sitting around the table with your family at the holiday, there's probably somebody else, well, there really is somebody else, who's sitting there without anything at all.
It's very true that the holidays are a stressful time, you know, because of we do celebrate around meals. You know, we just did it at Thanksgiving. So many families will do it now over the religious holidays, whatever they, you know, whatever they practice in their homes. And it does so much revolve around a meal. And whether the meal is missing entirely, as Aaron mentioned, or just the added stress of where the resources come to pay for that meal. It might still be there, but something else had to go. You mentioned choosing between, you know, heating or, you know, there's so many things that cost more in the winter. And so that's a big part of it. The other time we see a spike in requests is in the summer, actually. And people don't really think about that, but, you know, kids are out of school and free or reduced price lunch that plays such a big role in feeding families throughout the school year, that's missing. And so that's the other time when we really see a spike is during the summer months.
So even if the need is year-round, how important are these holiday-themed drives that people do around the community?
It's a dual purpose. Yeah. It provides food to the families that need it, but it also creates awareness. It reminds people that hunger is present every day.
Jennifer?
Absolutely. You know, having the opportunity to talk and talk about the issue of hunger and our neighbors that need help is invaluable.
Jennifer Woodford is Executive Director of Channel One Regional Food Bank based in Rochester, and Aaron Waldhart is Executive Director of Wafer, a food pantry serving La Crosse and Houston counties. Today, we're talking about hunger in the Coulee region and the different organizations that work to feed people. Coming up next, hear the story of a young single mother who's been living at and eating at the Salvation Army for a couple of weeks now. To hear this and other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. There, you can also find photos and links to the local food banks. Newsmakers is also on Facebook, like us at WPR Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking about hunger in the Coulee region with groups that are working to feed people. That includes Aaron Waldhart, Executive Director of Wafer, a food pantry serving La Crosse and Houston counties, and Jennifer Woodford, Executive Director of Channel One Regional Food Bank based in Rochester. They're both joining us today. Another organization that works to feed those who are hungry is the Salvation Army. I visited Salvation Army in La Crosse at lunchtime yesterday. Volunteers were serving chili dogs, potato salad, and marshmallow fluff salad. Sitting in the back corner was Katie Osman, and asleep next to her in a stroller was her daughter. Katie's been in and out of the shelter for a few years. She's a single mother caring for a daughter who suffers from severe seizures, I first asked Katie to talk a bit about herself.
I usually like to be around my daughter, watch movies with her, or listen to music, play games on my phone, walk around if it's not too cold. Well, I like to write. I like to draw. I usually just write my feelings down because that's just how I communicate. I mainly write poems sometimes.
My name is Catherine Holtzman. I'm 27 and I'm living in La Crosse, Wisconsin. My daughter is Mia Bagwell and she's 2.5. We've been here since the 22nd of last month of November. We eat all three meals here. We have breakfast in the mornings from 7:30 to 8. Then we have lunch from 11:30 to 12. We have dinner from 4:30 to 5. And then we have a snack meal, which is at 7:30 to 8. And they get like chips sometimes or cake sometimes. If it's a special occasion, it'd be cake and ice cream or cookies and ice cream. I try to get my daughter to eat because she's a sick kid. But yeah, we eat the meals here. I try to.
What would you do if they didn't have the meals here?
Well, I get food stamps. But if I didn't have food stamps, I don't know what I would do. I mean, I know there's other churches that do help out families that can't afford food or stuff like that, and I'd have to go there and eat there. But since I do have food stamps, I can easily go get a pizza or a sandwich or something like that and still be able to feed her. Even if I had a little bit of money, I'd give it to my daughter first. She's more important than me eating. That's just how I think I should be.
And you were saying that part of the problem you're having right now is finding work, especially because your daughter and the situation she's in?
Yes, it's I really can't get a job because my daughter is a seizure child, and a lot of jobs can't accept it because she's sick and stuff, and she would go into a seizure, and some jobs won't accept because I would have to leave immediately because she can die from it. So she stays with me. But normally if she was a healthy child, I'd be able to have a job. So, I mean, things may change. You may get better. I mean, she might come out of a seizure and, you know, never have one again, which is really good, but you never know. God has his own plans for everybody. Well, yeah, I think, you know, things will change. I mean, you can't always change, but if God wants somebody to be somewhere, he's going to make them stay.
So that was Katie. She's been staying at the Salvation Army in La Crosse on and off for a few years now. She just returned to La Crosse. She's from Memphis, but she just returned to La Crosse a few weeks ago, kind of hoping to get her life back on track. And she's on her way. I mean, she seemed confident, but everyone has a unique story. People who are hungry have a unique story, but hers may not necessarily be unique. There are probably thousands of people in the same situation as Katie. Not here in La Crosse, but across the country.
Well, absolutely. And I think that's what's just always important to remember is that everybody does have a story and everybody has a reason. And those reasons just vary widely, whether it's a child who has a medical crisis of your own, damage to your property that you have to take care of, a house fire, unexpected car repair bills. I mean, when you are in that kind of bottom rung for income, when you're in poverty, the slightest little thing can throw your plan completely off whack. And so then you have to think, okay, now what? If I don't pay this bill, I can pay my rent, but I have to put gas in the car because I have to get to work, so I have to pay for gas. And it's just this carefully arranged series of if-thens. And if gets messed up, then the thens all get messed up. And there's so many places you have to continue to put your resources, your financial resources. And buying food isn't always one of them. I mean, unfortunately for some people, that's where they have to make the cuts. So that's where agencies like Wafer and the Salvation Army are so important to provide that safety net.
And someone like Katie, who, you know, she's mostly in this shelter. She says she doesn't want to burden her friends in the area. But she does get food stamps. And so she's able to maybe go and make a pizza at a friend's house every now and then, like she sort of talked about. But Aaron, someone like Katie, if she's going to Salvation Army, she's getting food stamps, can she also go to Wafer? Can she also go to any other place that's giving food out in La Crosse? How does that work for her?
Well, for us, it's a little touchy. Knowing that people that live in the shelter get 3 meals a day from the shelter, we usually refer them back to the Salvation Army.
And is that sort of how all the other food pantries work, not only in La Crosse, but is that across the country sort of how it works? Just because
I can't speak for other
sure.
organizations.
Sure.
It's just that we know that resources are limited.
That's
and if
what
they're
I was
getting
wondering.
Three yeah. meals a day at the Salvation Army, there probably isn't a whole lot of use for the food package that we can provide.
Yeah. And I think it just varies depending on what resources are in your community. I mean, La Crosse is lucky that there is a shelter here that provides 3 meals a day, but not every community has that. So in some cases, you know, if you're staying in a shelter, you might have, you know, the warmth and the heat and the walls, but they might not have a meal program. So I think it just varies depending on what the resources are.
Are there many shelters that provide meals in Southeast Minnesota?
Not that are as comprehensive as the Salvation Army here in La Crosse. I mean, there are a couple, and it just depends community by community. The larger the community tends to be, the more resources that are available. But that's where kind of the creativity of each community comes in. You know, when resources are being cut, specifically like now with SNAP benefits, I know we put together a sheet. Now, we try to make referrals as often as possible to different other programs that might be of assistance, whether they're our own programs or programs that we partner with. But we specifically put a sheet together that talked about meals that were served. And you can pretty much find a meal, even if you're not in a shelter situation, almost every day of the week in Olmsted County. And so, you know, just trying to connect people to other options that are available for them, other resources that are already in the community.
And here in La Crosse, is Salvation Army one of the only places you can go for a meal? Or, I mean, do churches?
There are several others.
Okay. Can you mention some of the others?
Place of Grace. There is, I'm not sure how often, there's a church in West Salem that offers a meal. There's more.
Sure.
Just off the top of my head, I can't
fine.
Think of them. But I know that there's several around the area, and we make referrals to them as well. You know, we're not the only stop for people. They need to tap into the other resources to make life better.
And I know earlier we talked about the SNAP food stamp benefits being cut, but I thought I'd rattle off some numbers. According to the Wisconsin State Journal, they did some analysis on it from a couple of different organizations, and they found that at least in La Crosse County, 17% of the population receives benefits, and that's 30% of the children in La Crosse County are getting food benefits. In Monroe and Jackson County, it's 20%, and much higher for children. It was 36 and 38% in those counties. And at least in southwest Wisconsin, the county that had the highest number of people receiving food stamp benefits, SNAP benefits, was in Richland County. It's 23% of the population and 39% of the children, which is a large percentage of schools.
Mm-hmm.
So you're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCullum. My guests today are Jennifer Woodford. She's executive director of the Channel 1 Regional Food Bank based in Rochester, and Aaron Waldhart, executive director of Wafer, a food pantry serving La Crosse and Houston counties. I want to talk about maybe a few events that are coming up that do help out the different food pantries and food banks in the region. Jennifer, before we were talking about the holiday train that's coming to Rochester, it'll be in La Crosse tonight, Rochester tomorrow. Can you explain what exactly that program is and how it benefits the different communities it stops in?
So the Holiday Train is a program that's been run by Canadian Pacific Railroad for many years, and I don't have the numbers in front of me as far as many years, but they decorate a train. It's several cars long, all decorated with holiday lights. One of the cars actually turns into a stage. They do some musical performances. There's an appearance by Santa at every stop along the way. But in every town where the train stops, they try to do something for hunger relief. They encourage, they partner with an agency and do a food drive, encourage people to bring food and funds. Canadian Pacific supports each community with a financial donation as well. So it's wonderful that in addition to highlighting kind of the merriment of the holidays and all the celebrations that are going on, that they really keep all along their journey, they keep the issue of hunger at the forefront and try to do what they can at each town along their journey.
And this has been very beneficial for your organization in the past?
Yeah, the train did not make an appearance last year, but the couple of years prior to that, the first year, in fact, it ever came to Rochester, even though it was about 20 degrees below zero, it was a Sunday night. We had several hundred people, filling barrels and boxes with food and making financial donations. Again, we talked earlier about the holidays, and in general, people are feeling generous this time of year. And so to have another very festive opportunity for people to support us is fantastic.
And I know Wafer is not receiving the food that will be donated in La Crosse tonight, but it's still it'll be going to another food pantry here in La Crosse, correct?
Yes.
And then another event that goes on annually is the Rotary Lights here in La Crosse. I believe last year, I forgot to write the number down, but it was 280,000 pounds of food, something like that. But they, every year, Rotary Lights, they pick a different organization each night that they're donating food to. Can you talk about how Wafer's been involved in the Rotary Lights and maybe the benefit that that's brought on?
Well, the food that's collected at Rotary Lights is probably one of the larger food collections by a single agency that we have. The food generally lasts us till mid-February, which is quite large. Sometimes some of the nights that, well, for instance, last year there was one night where we received 14,000 pounds of food. That's outstanding. It's a lot to go through and a lot to get on the shelves and out to people's tables. But we certainly enjoy the food that comes in and the variety and what it means for the families locally. Rotary Lights is wonderful, you know, to drive through and see all the lights and then be able to participate by helping families locally through donations is really dual purpose. And we thank the Rotary Lights Committee for putting this together and including hunger agencies.
And this year, their Thanksgiving and Christmas are closer together than they were in the past, I think. 3 weeks separate the yep. two holidays, where in the past we had 4 weeks. So not only with Rotary Lights is there one less week to really collect money, but, I mean, I'm wondering if for other holiday drives, if this is something that is concerning to your organizations or if it's just one of those things you're hoping that people see the need and understand the lack of time that we have this year.
As Aaron? Far as Rotary Lights is concerned and a less week, it's probably going to impact the total poundage at the last total. And we will have less donated to us because there's less nights that we get to receive that food. In the end, you know, I'm just hopeful that we're going to have other community agencies that find value in what we do and want to be a part of it and arrange something on their own and surprise me with a call.
And what about with Channel One? Is there anything different that you have to do this year just because the holiday season's a little more condensed?
Yeah, and I think that it has been, it's been a little bit of a challenge. Thanksgiving, you know, with being one week, you know, as late really as it almost possibly could be, and condensing that holiday celebration and giving season has put a lot of people kind of into a frenzy. There's a lot of people that don't really like to start their Christmas holidays until after Thanksgiving, and I totally understand that. I feel the same way. I wouldn't let us put up our tree or, you know, start any of those Christmas celebrations. But there is one less week. And whether it's for your own personal celebrations, whether it's for the volunteer work you want to do in your community, whether it's for the support you want to give, it's just condensed. So there's a little bit of a frenzy. And we do have a lot of people calling and saying, I'd really like to do this before Christmas. And how we kind of manage that. Again, whether it's either coming in to volunteer, hosting a food drive, whatever the case may be, just trying to cram it in into 7 less days does make a difference.
I thought another event worth mentioning is on December 12th, there's going to be sort of a discussion dinner called Exploring Food Security in Our Community, and it'll be held at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in La Crosse. I think it's partially put on by the Hunger Task Force, partially put on by Western Technical College students. But essentially, people pay $5 to go to a meal, and they could get an extravagant meal or they could get a fairly simple meal and something in between. So there will also be discussions sort of surrounding the meals that people receive. And I've heard of other communities doing this too. But, I mean, is that a good way for people to just sort of understand what it's like to be food secure versus food insecure? I mean, really eating that meal and seeing it and being surrounded by others that are experiencing it?
Well, if you're sitting at a table with somebody else and you have, you know, just a very small portion, if anything at all, and seeing everybody else having something better than you have or more, I think it really hits home with there are people that deal with this on a daily basis, and this is a reality.
Jennifer?
I agree. I actually took part in a SNAP challenge during Hunger Action Month in September. So for 1 week, I lived off of the average benefit per day for our area, which is $3.86.
Per day?
That's the average per day. So it was $27.01 for the week. And it really I've always certainly been a supporter of what we do and believe in it, and done whatever I could to advance our mission for ourselves and our partners. But I had a whole nother level of understanding after doing the SNAP challenge. $3.86 a day doesn't go very far.
What were some example meals that you made?
I ate a lot of pasta and rice. I did splurge and I brought brown rice as opposed to white rice, but it was more expensive. The only fresh, I brought a bag of carrots, and then I brought bananas at Quick Trip because they were cost effective. I brought my milk at Quick Trip. Again, I was kind of shopping different places where I knew I could get the best deals. But, you know, very little in the way of fresh fruits and vegetables, no whole grains, and, you know, a lot of peanut butter and jelly. It was awful. I thought constantly about what my next meal was going to be, what food I had left, how I could put it together, how maybe it could be different than the last three times I ate it. And I just would be kind of become obsessed about what my next meal was going to be. You know, for me, it was 1 week. It was very limited. I didn't put my family through the exercise. I didn't have the heart to do that. And that was the luxury I had, was that I didn't have to, you know, have my family go through this with me. The thought of having them have those same thoughts and those same feelings brought me to tears more than once. And I really was hungry all the time.
So we only have a couple minutes left, but I'm wondering if you can talk about what more people can do right now, those who are in the position where they're able to help others. What do you want them to do? Aaron, what can people do in La Crosse and Houston counties?
Volunteer, get involved, organize an event, just see the people that are impacted by food insecurity and hunger that live right next door. You know, I tell people when I'm out giving talks, the very first time that I worked at a food pantry, my very first client, she changed me. You know, the eyes, the tears that she had in her eyes and the way that she looked at me and was profusely grateful for the food changed me and made me more passionate about what I do. And to know that there are people out there who don't necessarily show the physical emotions of being hungry and the struggles that they have, but yet they still go through it. And so just seeing it once is usually enough for people to get involved, get active, do something about hunger in their own community.
And Jennifer, what about with Channel One?
I completely agree. I think when you can see what's going on, it makes all the difference. It makes it so much more personal. And there's so many different ways. As Aaron mentioned, volunteering is a wonderful way to give back. If you have the means to put a couple of extra cans or boxes into your grocery cart and, you know, drop those off either at your local hunger relief agency or if your church collects food or, you know, whatever the case may be, you may not think that a couple of cans here, a couple of boxes there make a difference. a dollar here, a dollar there. That doesn't make any, it doesn't do any good, but it does, because we can provide enough food for five meals with a donation of every dollar. You know, Wafer can do something similar. I mean, what hunger relief agencies can take a little and turn into a lot is remarkable, and every little bit really does make a difference.
Jennifer Woodford is Executive Director of Channel One Regional Food Bank based in Rochester, and Aaron Waldhart is Executive Director of Wafer, a food pantry serving La Crosse and Houston counties. Today, we were talking about hunger in the Coulee region. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers. From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes John Gatto, Mary Meehan Strube, and our senior producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find extended interviews, photos, and links to the local food banks. And if you'd like to comment on our program, or if you have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. You can also find Newsmakers on Facebook, updates on future shows, more photos, and links to our archives. Like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.